Good morning, dear listeners. We will be talking today about another part of spiritual science subjects. Namely, today we're going to talk about world economy in the widest sense. Since when does it exist? What is it? How is it going to be evolve in these times? And I want to highlight two or three events connected with the development of world economy in the last century. And the first is the founding of the World Power Conference, that was its name, in London in 1924, introduced by an address by the Prince of Wales. And then we'll follow up a little bit this happening. Founded, it was by a man called Dean Dunlop, that some of you might never have heard about. So it's a good occasion to hear about him today. This is the man. Is that working? And I happen to be the biographer. There was nothing about him. Since his death in 1935, the world was silent about the founder of the World Power Conference. And then I will also look at an important work for the understanding of world economy by one of his close friends and pupils, the Vienna philosopher Walter Johannes Stein, who went into exile into Great Britain and was hired by Dunlop. And Stein had partly Jewish background. That was one of the reasons why he left Germany. So that's the second thing we're going to highlight. Third, I would like to point your attention to a little interesting brochure. It's about, I think, 9 years old, about the history of this organization that Dunlop ably founded and that is still existing today under a slightly modified name. Today it's called World Energy Council. And the organizers of this private international organization with a seat in London brought out in 2013 a brochure in which there is interesting reference to Dunlop, Stein and other subjects, quite broad-minded. And I think this organization is quite noteworthy. It's one of the few non-political and impartial organizations in private hands still. I think the general secretary today is even a Swiss gentleman, Dr. Frey. And I think in the today's situation of all this globalist mess, let's call it like that, of wild, special egotism for a minority on this planet, I don't remember, but it's, I think, not even 1% of people own all the resources and riches of the world. Might be not absolutely correct, but a really terrifying minority handles the affairs which should be handled by a real world economic order, which we still lack. We don't have it. So that's more or less the survey. And you will maybe understand that we have to deal a bit in depth. Why is this so today? The global elite has nothing to contribute to the global welfare of humanity. They have only in mind their own elite's welfare. I don't have to name the gentlemen mainly who are leading in this world. So let's go back. The very term world economy first appeared in the writings of an English economist with the name of Marshall, I forgot his first name, in the year 1879. That's an important year in the history of mankind because it marks the beginning of a new epoch under the spiritual guidance of Michael, the archangel of freedom, but also of cosmopolitanism, which is something that has many faces, and one is that precisely all economic matters have to be directed from this time on in a universal, truly global, cosmopolitan sense. Why? In the age of world economy, and we're going to talk a little bit about it, borders, national borders, have become obsolete. They are an obstacle to effective realization of economic affairs. And the ideal of world economic order is to have a truly international coordination between all sorts of peoples and their three domains of production, consumption, and distribution in the middle. And this sounds very easy, but the reality today is, of course, very, very difficult to handle. Think of the great energy problem that is, so to speak, imposed artificially on whole continents. Think of all these threats that we will have. A hard winter, no energy in Europe, and so on. Think of all the warlike, actually, elements playing into it. The last big thing, which is, I think, a tremendous event of shocking nature, was the blowing up of the two Nord Stream pipelines that is now under the investigation of Seymour Hersh, attributed clearly to the US military in combination with Norway diver helpers. And the whole economy based on energy in Europe is lame, especially Germany. So we have a real big energy problem at the root of a world economic order, which does not really fully exist. Outside the special interests of nations, of armies, of such, I would call them superfluous institutions like the NATO. The NATO, I think, is called OTAN in English. I'm not sure. But you know what I mean. And the whole war in the Ukraine. So it's a big difficulty for realizing the aims of the world economy. The world economy that should be established. And of course, Rudolf Steiner had his ideas about this as well. And Ian Dunlop, I'm going to portray a little bit closer later, knew that very well. These world economic order is part of the threefold order, and it is the part that refers to the human needs on the level of the physical body, nourishment, keep the body going, warmth, safety, shelter, etc., etc. And there is one big ideal that should govern every activity that is economic, world economic, and this is the ideal of all human beings are brothers. Brotherlyhood, is that correct? Brotherlyhood. And today we have extreme egotism in the very same sphere. And that can never work. Others, other than by violence, by suppression, by arbitrary regulations, etc. And that's, our world is full of it. Take the World Economic Forum as an example of this unbrotherly ruling world economic activities. Or take such an organization like the World Health Organization, which is a complete disaster. Since we know that this latter organization was hiring the services of a very renowned American public relations company called Hill & Knowlton, who had a hand in the firing of the Iraq War in 1990, this organization was asked to advise the World Health Organization to tell them how to sell their product, which was COVID. Now, this all plays into, in a very unhealthy way, into the attempts to found a sane world economic order based on brotherhood universally. And that's why I have to show today a little bit the forerunners of a healthy organization, because there is nothing around that we can say, oh, we are so glad that it works so well. I don't think anyone can say that. So let's go back to the roots, because they are there. Good roots are there. But first, before we go there, let me characterize the conflict basically today in all matters that go into world economy. It's a conflict between the facts and the consciousness about the facts. The fact, since 1879, the year I mentioned as the starting year of so-called world economy, are such that production, distribution, and of course consumption has become actually really global, worldwide, the facts. And the ability to produce all over the world similar things, different things, also according to the psychology of the different people. Every folk has a different style of producing a certain merchandise. For example, in Europe, the Germans make solid things in the best way. The British also, maybe a little bit with elegance mixed in it. And the French are pure elegantists, so to speak. I think there are not more elegant cars, for example, than used to be. It's changing today. It's all getting a little bit the same. But earlier, if you look at the old Citroën Classic, they were always designed in a very elegant, interesting sense. So there are types. Folk psychology should be considered for world economic activities. And that was all well prepared to go into this way. Now, today still we have this great discrepancy. Global facts and, let's call it, provincial consciousness. The leaders so far, the power group, elite leaders, think generally rather narrow-mindedly. Their own race or their own people or their own little group. That's all that counts. And of course, this must engender conflicts because it is not true and it doesn't fit the facts that are there. The global, no frontiers for economy. It's all over the planet is the place, the forum, the stage. And on this stage, we have mighty, powerful people moving with their little ideas about national, group, individual welfare and happiness. And that doesn't work. So maybe that's why we have crises. In order to, if self-education is not very prominent, then there is the education by crises, inflations, wars. I think the higher beings that are certainly also there for everyone who thinks, crises are one of the means to bring more intelligence into certain matters. Now, let's have a look back to the beginning, say actually 200 years back, that is 1923. There we had this man, I mentioned him, Dean Dunlop, Scottish, with an interesting background, who prepared the way for a world economic sound order based on brotherhood. And he was very fit for that. I think not many people are fit to perform such a task. And there is a saying in an early journal of two Irish theosophists, strivers. One of them was Dunlop, the other was the painter George Russell. And in one of their journals, there was a little sentence: "When the great man is absent, the age produces nothing." Which is an appreciation of the value of the individual. And if there is an age where there is mediocrity, and I think we are in an age of covered up mediocrity, then certain things won't come into existence. Now, a great man was certainly a man like Dean Dunlop. Look at briefly at his background. And here I want to quote from the brochure I already quoted in the beginning of the still existing international organization, which is quite amazing. You have 100 years later, the same organization, I think basically the same statutes, still existing in the world, concerned with the energy question: what is where, what can be used where. And I'm afraid after Dunlop's death, the plan to evolve it into a world economic body has been stopped. But I think it could be revitalized anytime if the right people step in. Now, the first body 100 years ago was called World Power Conference. And it was introduced in London by the then Prince of Wales in a very benevolent way, which helped to give the whole conference an enormous prestige in Great Britain and beyond. And not only that, Dunlop had the vision, and he realized this vision, to include the banned countries of the Middle, Austria and especially Germany, just after the First World War. They were part of the group. Now I'll read you a few words of this brochure, which you can find on the internet. Right now, I give you the source afterwards. The main inspiration behind the World Power Conference was Daniel Nicol Dunlop. The establishment of an international organization that could stand above politics had been one of Dunlop's principal objectives for organizing the event. Born in 1868 in Kilmarnock, Scotland, Dunlop was a visionary leader in the field of occult science and central in the formation of the British electrical industry. He was an early member of the Alchemical Society, the Theosophical Society, editing the journal The Path, and later became chairman of the British Anthroposophical Society. Having spent a period in Ireland in his youth, where he befriended the Irish poet W. B. Yeats, he crept into the pages of James Joyce, Ulysses, who doesn't know Ulysses, as Dunlop judged the noblest Roman of them all. He would later recount that his first contact with electricity had been through writing a series of 16 articles on the subject in response to the World Exhibition in Paris in 1889. These well-received articles brought him into contact with the Westinghouse American Electrical Company in 1896. Dunlop joined the publicity department of the same company. He worked there until 1911, when he helped found BEMAR, British Electrical and Allied Manufacturers Association, and subsequently became the first organizing secretary and later its director. Now, although Dunlop's role in the electrical industry may appear ancillary to his leadership in the then fashionable world of the occult sciences, both positions were complementary. He was deeply influenced by the German philosopher and social reformer Rudolf Steiner. Steiner was de facto Austrian. Steiner's concept of the threefold commonwealth held that practical solutions could not be disengaged from the spiritual plane. The three fields of the social order, culture, politics, and economy, needed to function as autonomous bodies. Steiner believed. Dunlop followed this train of thought and first laid the seeds of the World Power Conference in 1916 in his book British Destiny, The Principle of Progress. These are the words of this brochure that I quoted, appearing 2014, almost 100 years later, and are showing a full appreciation of the variety of traits in this personality. I found very remarkable that they say interest in philosophy, occult matters were totally complementary to his interests in economy and leading economic associations. You find this in a modern brochure. And the whole society, you can go to the web, to look it up. It's under www.worldenergy.org. And what I just quoted was about we and history, with a portrait and a photograph of the founder. So they haven't restored the founder as often, or said, well, he was also always illusionary or something else, but he is still there. This is quite a rare phenomenon. That's why I dared to show some of the lines in this modern brochure of the World Energy Council, how it is named today, from World Power Conference to World Energy Council. So this is a perspective that I think is still vital for the future development of what we can call true world economy, which is not based on narrow egotism, ruthless social fights and this and that. Now, it is clear from the before said that this world economy of the future will have to be totally free from political, cultural, direct influence by any other body. And to do that, it will be important to form what Steiner himself already called associations. In these associations, you have a meeting place of producers, traders, merchants, consumers, and they have to find the way to establish the right price. The price question is still one of the central of a merchandise. And they will have to find also the right measure of what is lawful for working, and especially that no working force of no human being can be merchandised. You should not be able to buy work, labor force from any individual, which is still the case today in so far that most of you have a wages which is based on time spent for this and that working activity. But if you ask yourself, is time something that can be bought or sold without diminishing the dignity of the human being? You will find probably that this is a no. Time is intimately linked up with every human being. So you cannot sell your time, measure the wages in time, but we find a way to price the product and not the time being used. And also you will find also in Steiner, of course, a way of reckoning what is the worth of a class in a school. How can you measure the economic worth of spiritual work, not only of manual work with your hands? These are all things that have not really been put into practice so far. And maybe we need in this year, 1923, 100 years after the beginning of these wonderful great perspectives, some solid catastrophes in order to stop the madness of the present systems. Monetary, about which, of course, Katrin Austin Fitz, his expert, and others. There is a new beginning. And I think it is good to see that this new beginning has also already been laid a seed for 100 years back. It's not so totally new, but we have to grasp ideas which were already there, born. The World Power Conference, which was actually designed to become a world economic conference. And with conference, Dunlop meant something which appeared for a couple of days or weeks, but was a permanent body organization. Now, I would like to point to a big contribution to the future world economy by the pupil of Stein, who came to England. He was also in Holland. He was a long time in Holland. He associated with Prince Bernhard. Before he founded the Bilderbergers, he gave him good new ideas about how world economy could be organized. It didn't work. He was in contact with Churchill as a mediator, and then he entered into the services of Dean Dunlop just 2 years before Dunlop died. And Dunlop, as a next step for world economy, founded the journal World Survey. It only survived, I think, 2 or 3 years. And it was a real survey over world economic activities in order to coordinate them better. Coordination was always the lacking thing. Now, Stein edited a special number of his own journal called The Present Age. And some of you will know that in Switzerland, in Basel, we have again brought out a present age in succession, in honor of this important journal activity. Weilstein found it in 1932 or 3. And in 1937, Stein issued a special number of the present age, which was inspired by Dunlop before he died. And in this, he outlined the basic subjects for a future World Economic Conference, which has never been able to happen because of the death of Dunlop in 1935. But the ideas are so fruitful and so interesting that I like to let you know. It was contained in 1937, as I said, and the whole title of the special issue of the present age was The Earth as a Basis of World Economy. The World as a Basis of World Economy by Walter Johannes Stein. So I give you an insight into this journal, and we have decided, I must say, at last, it should have been done much earlier, to upload it on our website, webpage. I will give it to you afterwards. And just have a little look at the contents. The contents you found in this are the following. Table of contents. Dedication, of course, to the founder of the World Power Conference and the friend that he loved greatly and admired, Dean Dunlop. So what are the contents? There is a preface, dedication to Dunlop, introduction, and then a chapter called The Earth as a Star Among Stars. Then, the cosmological and geological aspect as foundation for the distribution of raw materials on the Earth. Then, the circulation of chemical substance. Then, the cosmological origin of metals. Then, the oceans. Then, the air and the temperature systems of the Earth. Then, the sun and planetary influences on weather and climate as foundation for harvests and prices. And the final chapter on world economy. And Stein modestly says, of course, this is only a sketch, but there is nothing comparable, so to speak, from the broadness and from the horizon used for the development of a real world economic order and organization. That was his contribution to it. And we are happy now to be able to offer it for anyone interested in this subject. You can find it, the long article, 70 pages, with these divided chapters. The Earth as a Basis of World Economy is to be found on our web page, www.persees.ch, under the heading Articles in English. You can download the whole complete little book. And as I have mentioned it, and now we are at the sources briefly, I want to mention again worldenergy.org, and there you go to History 2014, and then you find the whole founder's biography. There are two other things by Steiner, a lecture cycle called World Economy, translated into English, and his basic book of 1919, The Threefold Social Order. You can all both get them in English. And then the last source I give here is, I'm afraid, but I can't avoid it, my own biography on Dunlop, because it's the only source you will find. The only complete source of this remarkable man, who was actually, who found an afterword that was a great gift for me personally, as a biography. A biographer is a great gift if somebody that you respect highly and that you think is very able says a few words about it. And this happened here in this biography at the end. You find an afterword by Owen Barfield, who is maybe the greatest and ablest writer about spiritual scientific subjects in Great Britain. And he had quite a great influence in the 60s in America as a lecturer, a very lovable man who admitted openly, after he has read my biography on Dunlop, he admitted he was making a new discovery. And he said, it's wonderful if you find a treasure in your life. But if you find the treasure in your back garden, in your own back garden, is a special pleasure. That was his saying. He knew Dunlop, but he didn't understand his genius. And I think that's the case of many people, because Dunlop was absolutely humble and he could just pass as an ordinary man, and he was not an academic, whereas Barfield and many others were academics. So it's also a very lovely afterword to this biography, which is the only one so far, to this far-seeing human being. Steiner valued him extremely. I think he was one of the most important pupils of his in the West, because he had an ability to come and offer help. He didn't come and say, Dr. Steiner, could you give me a meditation for my wife or for my, I don't know, brother? He could help immediately because he has already done such a rich life work before he met Steiner. And then he was, of course, inspired by him, as the people who wrote the World Energy Council brochure rightly assumed. So this is certainly a good example of a great man, and I'm afraid also an example of the fact that if the great man is not there, the age produces nothing. And then you have to have patience. This is, of course, very hard, maybe, but I don't think it's without validity. Great individuals already were also named by the philosopher, poet Carlyle as something history cannot renounce of. And we are a little bit in a vacuum situation today. There might be geniuses, but they have hardly begun their work in the public eye, in the world. Or maybe I'm just dumb enough to perceive it. So some of our listeners who know more, please give some feedback if this is proven wrong. Well, that was in brief survey I wanted to make. Of course, there are many questions open about world economy, but I wanted to highlight the background, the good start, and the difficult situation in which we are now, which is everything but world economic. The world, the WEF Economic Forum is but a clear distortion and caricature of what would actually be needed. And let me say an actual word here. The presidents, is that right? In Canada, of the state Alberta, Smith, I think, Danielle Smith. She announced a couple of months ago that she doesn't want to have anything to do with the WEF because the WEF is a bundle of people who celebrate their own power that they believe they have over the rest of humanity. And she's not interested to go and chair this forum. And I think that's a very healthy reaction. Similar things will happen with the abuse of big economic powers that we have in the pharma industry, you know, that now we have the time where the government of Thailand is starting to sue Pfizer for the huge business they made by making people sick and crunk. So there is a movement right now in this year, this very important year, 100 years after the foundation of the World Power Conference, things move, and that's a very positive thing. And another example to close with is that the present Swiss president, who was responsible for the health questions, has been sued by a Swiss citizen for making false statements about the help of the vaccine if you get the shot, which makes was getting publicity in the whole world. So, and as a Swiss, let me make a last statement. As a Swiss citizen who loves the Swiss tradition, you know, all know Wilhelm Tell, put into music by Giacomo Rossini in a wonderful way. There is a legend in Switzerland that speaks of three Tells, that they are hiding in a mountain near Lucerne, I think the Pilatus, and they were once found by a traveler who was walking through the meadows of Pilatus, found an unknown opening in a rock, and found three old people with beards sleeping deeply, and one of them woke up when he heard this visitor come and asked with a somber tone, "How are things in the land, in the state?" And the traveler said, "I believe they are quite okay." And then he said, "Okay, then we will sleep on till the moment is there where the nation is in need of us. And then we will come." So maybe we go into a time where some figures like that will appear to help. But they only can help to people who are already active. That was it. Thank you so much. And we have a future presentation soon. And thank you, Robert, for your able and patient, technique. Thank you.